All right, this morning I want to talk a little bit about I want to talk a little bit about stepping up to the plate. Look at your neighbor and say, step up to the plate. Now, you know, I'm coming off of a sports high. For those that are watching basketball, you know, you saw what happened with the Raptors, right? Making history yesterday, going into the NBA Finals. You know, when I started this sermon, I started with baseball. That's why I didn't use the analogy of basketball. But stepping up to the plate. I mean, in baseball terms, this is where the batter moves near to the home plate in preparation to what? Strike the ball, right, that is being pitched. Figuratively, it is to move in a position where one is ready to do a task. Like, for example, it's time for Kyle Lowry to step up to the plate and handle his business. And he did that yesterday. Amen? Any basketball fans here? All right. He did that for the Raptors fans last night. But when a player or a person steps up to the plate, there are a few attitudes. There's a few mentalities that they can possibly have. One is that they can hope that they'll be lucky. You know? Not to say that this person don't have any knowledge of the game. It doesn't mean that they're not trained or experienced. Rather, it means that they are hoping in their talents that got them where they are. They may be depending on their teammates or the opposing team's losing record. You know, you have a lot of confidence when you're playing against someone that's been losing left, right, and center, right? You don't have confidence when you're playing a loser? No, okay. But I'm very competitive, right? And if somebody's record is not so great, I'm going hard. I'm going with more courage than I would go with somebody who, oh man, is just 11-0. I'm going hard. Because I'm thinking about my pride. I'm thinking that, no, man, I cannot lose to this guy. I cannot lose to this team. Hope that they will get lucky. They're not putting any extra responsibility on themselves. To think that they need to make a difference. However the play pans out, it's totally up to luck. Now, some have an expectation of, or a mentality of no expectations initially, but may derive some as time goes by. It all depends on how the game flows. Feelings are important. Is the body feeling good? Are you happy? Are you sad? What is the mood? All plays a part whether they will produce an effort or not. Another attitude or mentality that a player can have is they don't like the team. Have you ever been on a team that you don't like? You know, and so they would hope that they lose all the time so that they can criticize the coach and get traded. So there's no effort. If you have an opportunity to throw the game, you would just throw the game. What are the mentalities? Well, you can have confidence because you have a good knowledge of the game. Knowledge of your opponent's strengths and weaknesses. You have a good personal work ethic. You have experience. You have talent. All of this combines to give the player confidence that he can make a difference or be the difference in any game. There's a high sense of responsibility. Now, if you have the opportunity to build a team, which of these attitudes would you like for your players to have? Would you like them to just say, well, you know what? Hey, let's just leave it up to luck. Or would you like them to have no expectation? However it flows, however the ball rolls. Would you like them to hate the team? I don't like this team. Or would you want them to have confidence? Confidence that they can make a difference. That they're carrying the responsibility of the team. I mean, it's a no-brainer. We want players who are active in the dugout, thinking about how they can impact the game. Players that are going to take ownership. Players that strategize to win and give their all. We want confident players. Amen? So like baseball, life constantly demands that we step up to the plate. Step up to the many different challenges we may face. Challenges, we face challenges every single day. Some of you are sitting here right now and you're facing a challenge. You're just looking at me, but you're like thinking about the challenge. We face challenges in our marriages. We face challenges with our children. We face challenges in our homes. We face challenges in our extended family. We face challenges at work. Challenges, they're all over the place. Even when we're not looking, challenges find us. I mean, how can we handle them all successfully? As Christians, how do we handle the pressures of our individual as life as well as community life? And how do we do it confidently? How do we do it confidently? Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you because you're a good God. We want to thank you because you're faithful. We want to thank you, O God, because you love us. And Father, even as we go into your word together, we want to thank you because your word is life. And in it there is light. And that light is able to shine in every dark area. And darkness cannot overcome. And so, Father, we submit our hearts, our minds, our wills to your word this morning. And we say, have your way. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. So how do we do it? How do we do it? How do we have confidence? Well, let's look at Colossians 3, 1 and 4. So I'm busy tapping my ears because I feel like this thing is going to fall off my ears. All right, Colossians 3, 1 and 4. It says, put on the new self. If then you have been raised with Christ, that's a good word, raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above. See, raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above. Not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Seek things above. Now, Pastor, how is seeking things above is going to help me with what I'm going through right now, with the challenges that I'm facing? Well, I didn't say it. He said, seek things above. You see, when we think about Jesus Christ, what is it that comes to mind? When we think about Jesus Christ, what is it that comes to mind? God so loved the world that he gives his only begotten son. Jesus. It's like a sacrifice. You know, a few weeks ago I was sitting down and I was thinking, man, God, how did you love Jesus? Like, it just struck me, in what way did the Father love the Son? Now, that's a whole sermon in itself. But what convinced me is that what Jesus said of the Father. He says, the Father loves me, and I love him. He was totally convinced of the Father's love. And that's a sermon that we can talk about another time. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When you think about Jesus, the blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised from life, and the good news is being preached. So there is a power that comes with Jesus. He is able to heal. He is able to deliver. He is able to even raise the dead. Amen. Praise God. When we think about Jesus, God says he put our sins upon him. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we can enter in a relationship with God. Now, it includes all of this, but there is more. He is risen. He is risen. And the Bible says that we are raised with him. So he is risen and we are raised with him. It says he is seated at the right hand of God. And if this is true, then we have access to God. Now, I want you to just think with me. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God. We are his. It means we have access to God. A God who is not against us. A God who has given us his Son. And if he's given us Jesus, we know there's nothing good he would withhold from us. It says your life is hidden with Christ in God. So how do we deal? How do we get confidence? We need to seek God, because the life God has for us, it is hidden with Christ. He's hidden it. He wants you and me to seek after it. To seek after it. Now in Psalms 24 it says, 1 to 6, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The law, the world, and those who dwell therein. I know this is just, but believers, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Amen? It belongs to God. And God is in heaven next to who? Jesus, right? The one who owns the earth and the fullness, the fruitfulness of the earth is right there. So it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Now, this is who we are seeking. He's founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. This is what Jesus has done for us. He has cleaned our hands. He's purified our hearts. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're being sanctified each and every day, being made right, pushing down away the evil and picking up what is good. It says that, so Jesus has done that for us. Verse 5. He will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God. So how do we handle pressures of life? We seek God, and he will tell us exactly what to do in every situation. His blessing and his plan for our lives right here will be revealed. It will be revealed. God will show it to us. Now, let me use a baseball analogy. It's like you stepping up to the plate. And as you're getting ready to bat, the umpire whispers, listen, it's a curveball and it's coming low. Swing low. There you go. Swing low. Right? There you go. Swing low, bang, home run. Oh my goodness gracious. It's a home run. Would you not listen to that umpire every time? I would. Would you lack confidence when you step up to the plate? No. It's almost not fair, isn't it? It is like, it's unfair. At least that's what the devil feels. It's almost unfair. That's why he tries to make the game boring. Tries to do other things to distract us from the umpire. But all we need to do is listen to the umpire and send the ball sailing over the fences. That is all we need to do. You know, it is well with you. No matter the situation and circumstances you are facing, because we are God's, it is well with us. We have an umpire. He will tell us exactly what we need to do in the face of challenges so that we can be confident as we step up to the plate. In verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. You see, he's not only having us knock home runs, but he's saying, listen, a time is coming when I'm going to come and there'll be no games to play. You will just be victorious. You will just be victorious. You will just be victorious. So practice now. You know, we need to get to a place where victory is normal. Amen? Where victory is normal. Where we are knocking home run after home run after home run. We need to get into that process, because when God comes, all that is waiting for us is victory. You need to learn how to handle victory now. We need to learn how to handle our victories now. Amen? Know the wiles of the enemy. Sometimes the devil does things to distract, you know, and to discourage. But we are victorious. So he's saying, wait. Keep listening. Keep swinging and keep making home runs. Amen? How do we step up to the plate with confidence? The second point. Turning from past sins. Colossians 3, 5, and 11. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you two once walked. Ain't that the truth? Okay. When you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is no Greek, there is no Jew, there is no circumcised, there is no uncircumcised, there is no barbarian, there is no Scythian, there is no, I don't know if I pronounced that word correct, but anyway, slave, there is no free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. The author of the world and everything that is in it says this about sin. He says the wages of sin is death. I'm going to go on a little theological side note, so please don't drop to sleep. Okay, wake up, all right. We good? All right, don't drop to sleep. All right, here we go. All right, so sin in the Old Testament usually denotes three different categories. I didn't put it up here, but it's sin as chatter, which means missing the mark. Sin, another category for sin, is the word pisha. It's the Hebrew word. It means transgression, rebellion against God. You know, we're revolting, striking. And then sin as awan, which means iniquity. It's perversion and lawlessness, mutiny, lack of control, wildness. Sin is defined as anything or activity that is contrary to the character of God and the boundaries he has established. That is what sin is. I'm going to say that again. Sin is defined as anything or activity that is contrary to the character of God and the boundaries he has established. God says the wages of sin is death. So that's what sin is. Now, death, the death he talks about here is not only hell and eternal separation from God, but it refers to an impurity, immoral corruption, lawlessness, shame, hardship, absolute frustration. This is the picture of our old self before we came to Jesus. This is how we lived before Jesus. Before God came alongside us, and although we deserve to reap the consequences of our action, God came beside us while we were sinners and offered to us eternal life. Offered to us life. He says, hey, you don't have to go down the road of frustration. You don't have to go down the road of peril. You don't have to experience this in this life. Listen, I have life for you here and now, and I have eternal life for you on the other side. Amen. It is what we laid hold of. Can you remember? For those that are believers, if you're not a non-believer, we can talk later. But I'm just, do you remember that? Do you remember laying hold of life? The life that Jesus gave to us. You know, we took our hands off what was old, leading to death, and grasped to dear life, to what was new and full of life. You know, this week, we spent some time in Alpha with a group of beautiful saints. Amen? And as we was learning about the things of God, one of them said to me, it's like, oh, this feels so good. You know, like, this feels so good. See, what we were learning to hold on to life and let go of death. Now, if you're a believer and struggling with putting our old self to death and holding firm to the new, Romans 8, 12, 13 says, so then, brothers, Romans 8, 12 and 13, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. So we owe nothing to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This death here not necessarily means that you will lose your salvation, but a believer that practice and continue to practice sin will suffer impurity, will suffer a moral corruption, will suffer lawlessness, will suffer shame, will suffer hardship, and will suffer absolute frustration. It's true. I know it's true. From personal experience, I know it's true. I absolutely know it's true. My first year of university, this was way back before some of you start throwing rocks, stones. Hold on. I'm just messing with you. My first year of university in the Bahamas, although a believer, I decided to do my own thing. You know? It's a nice way of saying, you know, I indulge in sin. And before you know it, the guy who was passionate about telling people about Jesus, passionate about reading the Word of God, got caught up in some new age stuff, man. If you saw me back then, you wouldn't recognize me. I had a lot of hair, and then I butted, you know, like, you know, like trying to go reggae kind of thing. I don't know if you, yeah. But anyway, I butted up. And I start believing like I can gain energy from the sun, the moon, the stars. Seeing life as all connected energy. I was introduced to it by one of my professors. man, and I was very deep. In fact, I was the A student in that class because all my experience, everything this book says that will happen, happened to me. So I was writing papers on it. And so I was like, whoa, man, this happened, whoa. And the teacher's like, hey, Dunstan, hey, hey. So, you know, I was just new age stuff. And I was very deep. But do you know what helped snap me out? Man, my best friend who was a believer. So I went with to him. And I start talking about, man, this new age stuff and what has happened to me. Oh, man, this is so great, you know. This time I'm just talking, but I was just talking. He began to look at me, and his face began to change because we hadn't seen each other for a while, so I was like, hey, I was happy, you know? And as we were talking, he started looking at me like, and so the excitement, you know, just went all the way down. And then he looks at me and he said, bro, Bahamian's talking, bro. He actually said, bro, and then he said, bro, you're confused. Looks me right in my eyes. And he says to me, are you confused? I said, what? It's like, oh, it was true. I was very much confused. I was in a deep, dark place screaming and pretending like everything is okay. And hopefully that my experience and the few things that I would say would just cover all of that stuff up. And so he tells me, you're confused, bro. Like, and this is my book, be very close. That was the start for me. The Spirit of God then began to open my eyes. I'm telling you, to the point that my last essay for this A-plus student, when I confronted the heresy of the New Age doctrine that I was learning, and I came out that class with a C. But I know in heaven I got an A. Got an A. So, yeah. She couldn't quite give me an F because I was A all the way. But I got a C. Amen. Amen. It says, verse 10, Colossians 10. It says, 3:10, and have put on the new self. You see, it takes effort, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. There is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ in all and in all. We may be different, but Christ is working in all of us. In all of us. What he has done for me, he can do for you. And what he has done for you, he can do for me. You belong to Jesus. I'm going to say that again. You belong to Jesus. Romans 8, 29 and 30. It says something very interesting. It says, God, concerning each and every one of us who believe, it says God foreknew us. Meaning that he has determined ahead of time to enter a relationship with you. So he foreknew you. He says God has predestined you. Meaning that his eternal goal is set upon you to make you like Jesus and to grant you eternal life. He says God has called you. So it is not by chance that you're sitting here today. God has called you. And he will perform his goodness in your life. It says that God has justified you. He has made each and every one of us right in his own eyes. Now, if God, and it went on to say that God has glorified us. He will glorify us. So if God foreknew us, predestined us, called us, justified us, will he not also glorify us? He will. He will glorify us. Praise God. You belong to God. I belong to God. We belong to God. We owe nothing to sin but to lay it aside. Now, how are you feeling about hitting some home runs? Are you ready to hit some home runs? See some thumbs up. The last point, putting on Christ-like virtue. Colossians 3, 12 and 17. It says, put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Keep going, I think. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. So we're standing at the plate. The umpire is telling us how to hit home runs. We have laid aside every form of distraction and every form of sin. The pitcher winds up to throw you a pitch, and here it comes. Pitch one. Hateful remarks. Now, are you going to respond with hateful remarks as well? And get strike one? What are you going to do? When pitcher winds up, and he throws. Maligns your name. What are you going to do? Gossip. What are you going to do? When the person at work is trying all they can do to get you fired, what are you going to do? When your wife would just not agree with where you, the direction that you want to take the finances, what are you going to do? When the debtors come knocking at your door, what are you going to do? When the child that you love so much turns around, spit in your face, just leaves. No gratitude, nothing. What are you going to do? How are you going to step up to the plate? What we just read and what we just listed, these are home runs. Compassion. Home run. Kindness. Home run. Humility, home run. Commitment, home run. Meekness, home run. Patience, home run. Bearing one another. Bearing one another. Bearing one another. Home run. Forgiveness, home run. Love. Love. love, which is the sum total of Christ-like virtue. Love, which will demonstrate whether we are mature or not. Home run. Amen. Clap for Jesus if you can clap now. Home run. You know, it doesn't mean that we will not go through some stuff. This is not what the word is saying. We will go through some stuff. That's why God is saying, seek the things above. Turn from your past sins. You know, when you turn away from sin, there is such a freedom. There is a righteousness. There is a peace. There is the confidence that your God is with you. There is just that extra that you walk with. When you put on Christ-like virtue, when someone hurts you so bad and you look into their eyes and say, you know what? Immediately, I forgive you. Like, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. It's not easy. And when I say it's not easy, this is what I mean. This week, I had a very interesting conversation with my two daughters, Azaria and Leah. And I kind of sense God's heart in this experience. And so, we were driving, they were singing, the mood was happy. Now, Daddy wanted a song, a specific song, a song that I know they love singing, and a song that I would love to hear. And I said to them, I said, Azaria and Leah, sing me this song. And then Leah jumped up and she started singing the song. And I was like, Azaria, join in. No. I said, okay. Look, Azaria, Leah's singing me the song. Why don't you sing with Leah? No. Azaria, if you sing Daddy this song, you will receive a treat. You will receive a treat. Now, we're talking about the big guns, right? You will receive a treat. All, both of you. Both of you. If you sing Daddy this song, you will receive a treat. Oh, Leah just took it up a volume. Okay, so Leah just began to, with actions and everything. Azaria, no. Like, but Sasa, please sing Daddy the song. Please. Like, please. No. But baby, you'll miss the treat. No. And so that, I only heard the song from Leah. However, it was time to dish out the treat. And so, I said, Leah, for singing the song, here is your treat. Zaza, I can't give you any treat because you didn't sing the song. Oh, my daughter. Daddy, Daddy, oh, Daddy. The world is coming to an end. It was breaking my heart. And I was so tempted to say, Zaza, it's okay, don't worry, here. But I said to myself, if I do that, then what am I saying to my child? You know, that you cannot obey Daddy and still receive a reward? Right? And so, I says, baby, I'm so sorry. Next time. Oh, Lord, it just went up a tear now. And so she cried. And then she eventually said, okay, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I'm going to sing the song now. But then, somewhere along the line, fortitude kind of set in. And I said, baby, the opportunity was past. It's gone. When I was asking it from you, you didn't do it. The opportunity is gone. And it pained me. No word of a lie. It's one of the most hurtful things that I've had to say to a six-year-old kid. As she looks at me like, something came over me and said, Dunson, you have to stick to your guns. This is the word of God. Seek things above. Turn from past sins. Put on Christ-like virtue. This is our season. Believe it. This is our season. Amen? God wants to do great things in us and through us. And this is universal. This is God's to the whole church. Seek me. Be that Jacob generation and seek my face, because I have a blessing for you. And your righteousness, how you should behave, where you should go, what you should do, I want to release it to you. But seek me. Not only seek me, but turn from those ways. We know those ways. Try and turn from it. Because what I have for you, it will consume all of that. Because that's what love does. Love consumes. Put on Christ-like virtue. It's not just about you. What you do impacts your family, your community, your church. So put on Christ-like virtue. Mature in love. Love one another so that when people look, they can say, whoa, these people are mature. This is evidence of maturity among the believers. Is love flowing, flowing. It is our time. My prayer is that, you know, like I had to tell my daughter, and she was really, baby, it's gone. The opportunity, the season, that time is gone. Next time. I don't know, but you, I want to next time. I want now. Do we want now? Me, I want now. Let it be now. It made me contemplate how many missed blessings. I've let go of. Because of my stubbornness. Because of my stubbornness. How many blessings have we let go of? Because you're like, God, not now. Let's draw near. Our God is good, and He is for us. We are victorious.